Tonight, a frantic emergency on campus, a deadly shooting at UCLA. Police on full tactical alert. Students barricading themselves in classrooms, holding doors closed with belts and cords as panic spreads. A mother's desperate plea for help.
Be calm. Who's driving my son? I can't watch this.
Her son plunged into the gorilla enclosure at the zoo. 911 calls shedding new light on a national firestorm. Trump University bombshell. Former employees calling it a fraudulent scheme that pushed staffers to prey upon the struggling and the elderly, taking their money and, quote, selling false hopes and lies. And buyer beware, potentially defective airbags, the same kind linked to a string of deaths, triggering the largest recall in history. Why are they still being put in brand new cars? Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
And good evening. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester. There were moments of terror and fear today on a major college campus in the nation's second largest city. UCLA under lockdown for several tense hours this morning with reports of a shooter on the loose on campus. Thousands of students running for safety. In the end, two people were killed, a professor and a student. In a murder-suicide, police at this hour are still trying to unravel. But as NBC's Gadi Schwartz reports tonight, it had an entire city on edge and on high alert.
Just fired a parking lot.
Police streaming from across Los Angeles.
The city is on tactical alert status.
A huge response to reports of a shooting on UCLA campus. From above, the sight of tactical teams spreading out, looking for the shooter and extracting students to safety.
I was just on my way to class when two police officers came running towards me and they screamed, "Get out of the hallway, get out of the hallway."
While inside the lockdown buildings, pictures on social media showing teams searching halls. In classrooms, students taking cover, barricading doors with belts, computer wires, and furniture.
In the lockdown site that I was at, some of the students in there were calling their parents, telling them that they loved them.
Then after nearly 2 hours of uncertainty.
The murder victim and the suspect appear to be at scene. The pistol is at scene. We think it's entirely contained within the office that it occurred in.
LAPD now says the shooting happened inside an engineering building. A professor killed before the gunman took his own life. A suicide note found on the scene. The motive still being investigated. The shooting scare coming right before finals for the 43,000 students on campus.
How do you concentrate on finals after something like this?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was worried my brain can't just go back to that now.
Now the question, how to reassure a student body at another university locked down by a shooting on campus.
Tonight, several law enforcement sources tell NBC News that the shooter appears to have been a student who had a grudge against a professor. Classes are scheduled to resume tomorrow morning. Savannah?
All right, Gadi Schwartz on campus for us. Thank you. Tonight, we are hearing audio of the moment a terrified mother called 911 to report her toddler had fallen into the gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo. The child was rescued unharmed after zoo officials made the decision to shoot the gorilla, a controversial call still being debated nationwide. NBC's Joe Fryer now with the tapes and the latest on the investigation.
911 calls capture a mother's frantic moments after her 3-year-old son fell into the gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo.
My son fell in the zoo exhibit at the gorilla. The Cincinnati Zoo, my son fell in with the gorilla. There's a male gorilla standing over him.
At times, the 420-pound silverback gorilla named Harambe could be seen pulling the boy across the moat.
Be calm. Who's driving my son? I can't watch this.
Eventually, zoo officials decided to shoot and kill the gorilla. Today, the boy's family released a new statement saying the child had a checkup with his doctor and is still doing well. We continue to be thankful to the Cincinnati Zoo for their actions taken to protect our child. Zoo officials say it appears the boy went over a 3-foot barrier and through several bushes before falling 15 feet into the moat.
He slammed the baby into the wall and the baby was in the water.
Cincinnati police say they'll review the actions of the boy's family leading up to the incident. The family has reportedly received death threats, and online nearly 500,000 people have signed a petition calling for the boy's mother to be charged. Police will not be investigating the zoo, but the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, which accredits zoos, will look into the incident. incident, the group has specific protocols for enclosures.
These enclosures not only have to protect the animals on the inside, but they have to protect the public on the outside.
The boys' family says some have been offering them money, but they don't want it. Instead, they're encouraging donations to the zoo in the gorilla's name. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Cincinnati.
There is stunning news tonight about the biggest recall in American history. Upwards of 69 million cars with potentially explosive and defective airbags linked to a string of deaths. There's word tonight that at least four automakers are still selling new cars with those same kind of potentially faulty airbags. NBC's Tom Costello now with a consumer alert.
It's terrifying news for anyone considering a new car. Some of those cars come with potentially defective airbags that will likely be recalled in just 2 to 3 years, but sold legally now because investigators believe they won't go bad for at least 6 years.
I have this scar here on my arm. I have this one down here where they removed a chunk of metal.
Already, exploding Takata airbags have injured more than 100 people and killed 10. Most recently, 17-year-old Huma Hanif in Texas.
It is absolutely ridiculous that the American consumer buys a new car only to find out in 2 years that is going to be recalled.
Among the new models currently being sold with suspect airbags, the 2016 and 17 Mitsubishi i-MiEV, the 2016 Volkswagen CC, the 2016 Audi TT, and 2017 Audi R8. Toyota and Fiat Chrysler are also selling vehicles with the potentially defective airbags, though both insist they're not currently under recall. Fiat Chrysler tells NBC News they meet or exceed all applicable safety requirements. But car dealer Steve Califer says VW isn't telling its customers about the airbags. He is and won't sell the affected model.
If we know it's a poisonous issue like the airbags, we're not going to sell it. We're not going to put our customers at risk.
The problem? There simply aren't enough replacement airbags for the 69 million cars already under recall.
Are you comfortable with how quickly these Takata airbags are being replaced?
Absolutely not. That's unfortunately the worst lesson from the last young woman who lost her life.
The warning, buyer beware, the car may be new, but it could be coming with a defect and a looming recall. Tom Costello, NBC News, Vienna, Virginia.
Politics now. There are new questions being raised tonight about Donald Trump's business history, which he has repeatedly offered as a key credential in his run for president. In newly unsealed testimony, former employees of Trump University accused Trump of running a fraudulent scheme to bilk the struggling and the elderly out of their money. NBC's Katie Tour has been digging into the testimony. Katie, good evening. What have you found?
Good evening, Savannah. With 3,500 legal actions in the past three decades, Donald Trump is officially the most litigious presidential nominee in U.S. history, according to USA Today. But tonight, it's a class action lawsuit against him that has many wondering if he may have made millions off the backs of struggling Americans.
I don't care about the men. I want the
Donald Trump selling the American dream on the campaign trail.
I will give you everything.
But his now defunct for-profit university is accused of crushing that dream, scamming hopeful students with aggressive sales tactics and false promises.
Success. It's going to happen to you.
Trump's secrets to selling unsealed by a federal judge. Hundreds of documents, including testimony from one former sales manager, saying Trump University was a fraudulent scheme that preyed upon the elderly and uneducated to separate them from their money. Another sales executive saying it was just selling false hopes and lies. The candidate facing trial in November is now calling out the ethnicity of the case's Indiana-born judge.
The judge, who happens to be, we believe, Mexican, which is great. What Judge Curiel is doing is a total disgrace.
Trump's lawyers deny fraud and point NBC News to this campaign video.
I must tell you that the courses that I took were outstanding.
The university seminars, at first free, were aggressively upsold from $1,500 to $35,000. Students allegedly encouraged to max out their credit cards.
I was highly deceived.
Plaintiff George Hannes says he drained his retirement to pay for Trump University.
I get this sick feeling in my stomach to not only see that, you know, from my own personal experience, but I see him playing those same exact cards with this whole country.
But if it looks like these businesses were not well run, it could cut a real hole into his case that he is the best person to run this country and make it great again.
Katie Turr, NBC News, Sacramento.
I'm Kristen Welker in New Jersey, where Hillary Clinton wasted no time going after Donald Trump on Trump University.
This is just more evidence that Donald Trump himself is a fraud.
The Clinton team hoping they've finally found a message that sticks, painting the billionaire businessman as a con artist.
He is trying to scam America the way he scammed all those people at Trump U.
But it's not the first time Trump's rivals have tried that strategy.
This man is a pathological liar.
A con artist.
So will it work for Hillary Clinton?
The Clinton campaign is counting on research, surrogates, and Hillary Clinton herself driving a message that none of Donald Trump's previous opponents were able to do.
And late today, the current commander-in-chief broadening the attack, arguing Trump's tax plan will hurt the middle class.
That is not going to make your lives better. That will help people like him.
But Clinton's attempts to focus solely on Trump, complicated by her ongoing primary battle. Tonight, our new NBC News Wall Street Journal Marist poll showing Bernie Sanders is now just 2 points down in California. Sanders still drawing huge crowds crisscrossing the state.
I just suddenly saw Hillary Clinton racing to California, Bill Clinton racing to California. Maybe they think this campaign is not quite over.
To Sanders' point, Clinton has rearranged her schedule to head back out to California tomorrow sooner than expected, and she'll deliver a speech on foreign policy again, attacking Trump. Savannah.
All right, Kristen Welker on the trail for us. Thank you. There is little relief in sight tonight in South Texas, where historic floodwaters have overwhelmed entire communities, triggering more water rescues today. And there are new concerns that one of the hardest hit areas may never fully recover as exhausted residents brace for more. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is along the Brazos River for us tonight.
If home is where the heart is, then tonight more of Texas is heartbroken.
It's just total devastation.
Before, the farming community looked like this. Now authorities estimate about 80% of it is either damaged or destroyed, including 300 homes in this subdivision. Fort Bend County Sheriff Troy Nels showed us the Valley Lodge subdivision, where some 300 homes are underwater.
This town has never seen anything like this.
No, they haven't. And now the real question will be for the 800 or so citizens out here, are you going to rebuild?
The historic floods crippling the state. This Jeep swept away by the raging waters. Today near Dallas, even more heavy rain. First responders rushing to rescue drivers.
I'm not leaving the house.
Wyatt Sebesta is on a rescue mission of his own. The floodwaters already claimed his house in Richmond. But after living in Texas all his life, no soaking would stop this cowboy from checking on his neighbors.
Well, that's what we all do around here. Everybody, you know, we've always helped each other. It's slick. Don't fall down.
It isn't long before he finds Nancy Jo Gonzalez and her son trapped. The water had just crept into their home.
Ever flooded like this?
Never. Never been in my house ever.
Tonight, this family is safe. Finally on dry land. But the toll in Texas is mounting, with more storms predicted through the weekend. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Richmond, Texas.
Troubling news tonight concerning the Zika virus. A baby has been born in New Jersey with a severe birth defect linked to Zika, the first case in the continental U.S. made public. But health officials are quick to point out the baby's mother did not contract the virus in this country. NBC's Ann Thompson now with the details.
This New Jersey hospital is where a 31-year-old woman from Honduras delivered a baby girl afflicted with microcephaly caused by the Zika virus. Doctors say the mother contracted the virus in Honduras and then came to the United States specifically for care.
It's quite frankly catastrophic for a young, healthy patient who's seeking to get pregnant or is pregnant to encounter this.
The CDC is currently following 300 pregnant women in the U.S. and its territories who've contracted Zika. New York mother-to-be Andrea Osborne traveled to Jamaica while pregnant and is now being closely monitored, though tests have been negative for Zika so far.
It is pretty scary because everyone wants to have a healthy child, and to think that a mosquito can cause all of this is crazy.
Pregnant women exposed to Zika have a 1 to 13% chance of giving birth to a baby with microcephaly. Today, the CDC warned again that pregnant women or women who could become pregnant avoid traveling to Zika hot zones in Central and South America and parts of the Caribbean, including Puerto Rico. The infected mosquitoes are not in the U.S. yet, but officials are on alert.
I wouldn't be surprised if we have small local outbreaks of people who actually get infected while in the continental United States without leaving it.
Trying to protect Americans against an epidemic still unfolding in other parts of the world. Ann Thompson, NBC News.
Still ahead tonight, a major new FDA alert about all the salt we may be eating without even knowing it. What the government is doing to drastically cut the sodium hidden in our diets. Also, a startling new warning about the top distraction for teens behind the wheel. And surprise, it's not cell phones. It's dinner time and you may be reaching for that salt shaker, but the FDA is hoping this next story will give you pause. The agency is out with dramatic new guidelines, sharply reducing how much salt is recommended, saying Americans are consuming too much sodium and getting it from foods where they may least expect it. NBC's Rahema Ellis has the story.
In a sweeping proposal years in the making, today, the FDA called for a sharp reduction in the sodium found in 150 categories of processed and restaurant food. Why? Americans consume, on average, 3,400 milligrams of sodium a day, about 1.5 teaspoons of salt. The proposed guidelines would cut that by one-third over the next decade. A major effort because more than 70% of sodium consumed is already in food before it reaches the table. Some surprising culprits: salad dressing, bread, and cereal. Medical experts today saying limiting sodium is important for America's health. One out of three Americans suffers from high blood pressure, even one out of 10 children.
If you have high blood pressure, try to reduce your salt intake. If you're otherwise healthy and have a low blood pressure, you may not need to worry about salt.
Today, the Grocery Manufacturers Association called for more research into the acceptable range of sodium intake for optimal health.
If you're taking the salt out, what can you put in food so it still tastes good?
So there's a lot of different ways to flavor foods that don't require salt. You can do dried herbs or fresh herbs or spices. Also, some of the aromatics like onions or garlic is really good.
All part of an effort to cut America's craving for salt. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, New York.
Up next, searchers may have gotten the break they were hoping for in the hunt for a crashed passenger plane. A potential big break in the search for the Egypt Air flight that crashed nearly 2 weeks ago. Investigators say a ship has picked up signals believed to be from one of the plane's black boxes. The search has been narrowed to a 3-mile radius in the Mediterranean Sea, where waters run as deep as nearly 10,000 feet. The cause of that crash remains a mystery. A big new study out tonight with a surprise about teens and distracted driving. AAA monitored thousands of teens with dashboard cameras over a period of 8 years, and researchers found the main source of distraction was not texting, which remains a dangerous problem, of course, but it's actually the passengers in the car that factored into most distracted driving crashes. When we come back, the Hollywood icon who would have turned 90 today, why the mystique of Maryland still lives on. A kiss may be grand. And finally, tonight, she's a Hollywood legend who would have celebrated her 90th birthday today. Marilyn Monroe, the blonde bombshell who lit up the silver screen in the 50s and 60s, is still just as famous as ever. NBC's Cynthia McFadden looks at why Marilyn's memory lives on all these years later.
But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Marilyn Monroe played the dumb gold-digging blonde so well, people often thought it was who she was.
I always say a kiss on the hand might feel very good, but a diamond tiara lasts forever.
Today, fans paused on the Hollywood Walk of Fame to remember what would have been the actress's 90th birthday.
Running wild, lost control.
Which raises the question, why? Why does she endure? In part, perhaps, because she perfectly represents the conflicting attitudes about women and sex in the 1950s. Sometimes bold and brassy, sometimes sweet and vulnerable.
Ooh, do you feel the breeze from the subway?
Isn't it delicious?
Perhaps, too, because while she's been copied and parodied over the years, she has never been matched. Born in 1926, she grew up in foster families, wedding for the first time at 16, before marriages to baseball star Joe DiMaggio and later playwright Arthur Miller. In 1962, at age 36, she made one of her most famous personal appearances.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Her vulnerability, not an act. She'd be dead 3 months later of a drug overdose. Among her troubles, her belief she was not taken seriously as an actress. In her last interview, published just 2 days before her death, she pleads, "Please don't make me look like a joke." Her fans have made sure of that. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
That'll do it for us on this Wednesday night. I'm Savannah Guthrie, and for Lester, I'll see you tomorrow morning on Today. Have a good night.